When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
What do you have on draft? Let's talk to the pros.
Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia, and today we've got not one, not two, but three rounds of mock draft goodness for you. We're going to talk about all of these players that are going to new destinations, potentially what that might mean. Now, we're going to focus on the fantasy assets as well to help me break this all down. Of course, Derek Brown, D-Bro, the King of Bros, the host of our Dynasty podcast, Scott Bogman, is in the house. Hooray. He's awake at a decent hour, so nice of him to join us. And the winner of our first ever Tags Rising Star Award. You know him from Football Guys. You know him from Devon Royale. You know him from being on the podcast a million times. He's the one, the only, Kevin Coleman. So the boys are going to help me break down everything going on here, potentially with all the rumors flying around right now with the NFL draft, which, by the way, don't forget, we are just weeks away now from the NFL draft. We will have live coverage right here on our YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe to our Fantasy Pros YouTube channel. It's enormous. It's fun. We've got great stuff going on there. We've got the podcast on there, the live streams, the short videos, the long videos. We got everything for you. And again, live NFL draft coverage, which you're not going to want to miss. So make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/fantasypros. And of course, today we're going to be using our PFF Friends software in order to make the picks today. And a shout out to our friend Bill, too, who's putting this all together for us. He's so great. We love Bill. Don't we love Bill, everybody? Everybody say, yay, we love you, Bill.
Love you, Bill.
Love you, Bill.
Love you, Bill.
There you go. See, everybody loves Bill. All right, let's get after it. Let's start here with the number one pick, which went to the Carolina Panthers after a trade, which also happened to go to Scott Bogman. Bogman, you are on the clock. Let's kick off the draft.
Yeah, let's go with C.J. Stroud, the quarterback out of Ohio State. And I know there are rumors about Bryce Young and all that stuff, but this right now is what we call smokescreen season. They traded a bunch of assets to get up to this number one overall pick. Now they're trying to squeeze a little bit out of the Texans because the Texans seem like they're probably set on Bryce Young. I think that's all a bunch of nonsense. They're just trying to squeeze a pick out of the Texans. I think if they're forced to pick here, they will stick with C.J. Stroud and go with him. So let's go with C.J. Stroud to the Panthers. They finally get their quarterback.
Stroud is the guy for me too, Box. And I'm with you. Like, this is always that time of year where you hear a lot of crazy things and it all ends up becoming, oh yeah, that was the pick in the first place. We saw this 2 years ago with that big quarterback class. Kevin Coleman, do you agree with it that Stroud is the number one quarterback? Do you think he is the first one off the board for the Panthers?
No, I think Boggs says it right. I think with you giving up that many assets, CJ is probably the safer one, and you got to kind of go with that. And he could be a quarterback one. Like, and I think they have to hit this pick. Like, they have to hit this pick. If they miss this pick, it's going to set them behind a lot more than that. So, you know, I think he's right. I think he's going to take him here. And he's a damn good quarterback. Like, he's going to be very good for the Panthers going forward. They build around him, which they've already kind of done in the offseason. I know it's not flashy, but at least they're giving him something to work with. And I think that's a smash pick.
There you go. So they're smashing the C.J. Stroud pick there at one. Derek Brown, you are on the clock for the second pick. That's the Houston Texans. Stroud off the board. So where do they go?
It's got to be Bryce Young, quarterback out of Alabama. With Stroud off the board, they're going to go with probably the most polished quarterback, arguably, in the draft. And really, the tea leaves have all been pointing to this. So I'm not breaking any new ground here. But yeah, Bryce Young to Houston.
Kevin, I got a question for you. Do you think that both Young and Stroud start week one for their respective teams if they do go 1-2 here?
I think they should. I'm not like on one of those people that think they should sit behind their guys. Like, get them out there. Get them out there and learn. And in this new era of NFL, they can do it. A lot of these college offenses kind of mirror NFL offenses too. So it's not like we used to see where they had to get developed. And both these guys are very, very good in terms of like learning X's and O's. Bryce is probably the smartest guy. Like with what he does, and he talks about it, Saban, coming from the college football stuff that I kind of do. Like, Bryce is going to be cerebral. He's going to be ready to go. So get him out there. Get him to learn and get him progress them. And they built around him good enough to where they're not going to get just destroyed out there.
All right. With a third pick, the Arizona Cardinals, and Kevin was the GM for this pick, selected Will Anderson, edge rusher from Alabama. Then back to Bogman at the 4 pick. So Boggs, who do the Indianapolis Colts select here in your opinion?
I have them taking Will Levis, and it's because he had an incredible pro day. We're waiting for him to do any type of testing at all in the offseason, and he kind of had slipped behind Richardson because Richardson has tested so well and all that stuff. But I think after his pro day went very smoothly, I mean, Richardson had an incredible pro day too, but after his incredible pro day, I think this is a guy that they go with. Tall, big, huge arm, had a down year last year, but you surround him with weapons, he's going to be pretty solid. So I'll go with Will Levis to the Colts.
The arm strength, not a question, Kevin, but I know there are some people out there that think that Levis might be the kind of quarterback that you do want to give a little bit of a learning curve to, maybe have him sit for a bit. How long do you think, if he does end up in a spot like Indianapolis, would that period be?
Oh, this is the classic, like 10 games and then the quarterback's not doing very well. So you throw the rookie in there. Like, I feel like that's kind of what you're looking at. And in this case with Minshew there, and the thing with Minshew, if this was to happen, like, he knows that system really well. So like, they're going to throw him in there. They're comfortable with Minshew playing behind that line and in that offense. I do think Levis, he needs some time. And I think it's not his physical tools. Levis has the physical tools, and you saw the pictures, right? He's jacked now. He looks like D-Bro at the gym. Like, you're looking at with Levis now, like,
he's
got to learn his progressions. Like, he really struggles under pressure, and he really struggles in his progressions as reading defenses. Like, that's something that they're going to have to work through with him. Now, Minshew would be a great mentor, and in that offense, that system, like, whoever goes in Indianapolis, I think it's pretty good that they're going to sit behind a year, Richardson or Levis, and then they learn and they go behind that system, and then that's at that 10 game 11 game mark, and then everybody talks themselves into Levis next year.
All right, with the 5th pick, the Seattle Seahawks with Derek Brown select Jalen Carter. So the draft stock going back up for the Georgia defensive tackle. Then Christian Gonzalez, the corner from Oregon, Kevin selected for the Detroit Lions, followed by the Las Vegas Raiders and Scott Bogman, who are now on the clock. And Boggs, the Raiders rolling the dice here.
A lot of offensive picks for me. Yeah, look, this is a perfect scenario for Richardson, right? You come in, you sit behind Jimmy G for a little bit, you learn the system, and then you get out there and go. I don't know how much upside any quarterback has under Josh McDaniels, but hopefully he'll be gone by the time Richardson takes over. We'll see what happens there, but enormous fantasy upside for this guy too. Just unbelievable. You know, definitely behind the other three. I guess you maybe could put him and Levis in the same bucket if you wanted to. But behind the other three in terms of starts and experience and all that stuff. But I think this is a really good spot to put him in, give him Devontae, give him Josh Jacobs for a while. I think this would be a good spot for Richardson.
D-Bro, with the constant injury plagueness of Jimmy Garoppolo, is this kind of dangerous here to have Richardson potentially being thrust into starting games before he's ready, if he is indeed a Las Vegas Raider?
No, I don't think that it's dangerous. I think that Richardson provides high enough floor, and we've already seen like an iteration of this offensive system with Cam Newton in New England operate. So Richardson, with
that was
legs,
really fun. I really enjoyed that time.
Hey, look, Cam Newton couldn't throw a ball 15 yards down the field accurately at that point in his career. Richardson obviously can. So just to illuminate that the floor would still be high, and then they lean on Josh Jacobs. So the offense would still be competent.
Kevin, people are falling in love with Richardson's combine, but there were some losses there with Florida for him. And, you know, wins and losses do matter. I know there's a lot more that goes into it. But in your opinion, how far away is Richardson and how much of a project is he?
Yeah, so what I would say, like, far away, I think he needs some time. Like, I think this would be a good spot for I would love for him to go to a spot where he can sit for a year, like, to be honest. Like, but I do think he has the physical tools to go out there and just go. Like, if he steps on that field, he can definitely, from a fantasy output, you'd be excited, because that dude's going to run for, like, you know, 150 yards every game, and he'll just kind of do that. I think to be successful, though, he needs to sit. But again, yeah, he won and lost some games. I will say this about Florida's, like, and Bogman probably, I know he's a big college football guy too. Florida's weapons were bad. Like, and they keep talking about like how, like, oh, well, you know, they have Florida, like they have Montrell Johnson and Etienne and some of these other guys at running back, but the wide receiver, they have not really had a good wide receiver at Florida for a long time. And he struggled with the weapons there. So I don't think we can bank on all those, you know, his percentage was down. Yeah. His accuracy, all that. A lot of that did come from drops and other stuff that happened with his weapons around him. So like, I think that's kind of a misnomer that we see it thrown around, but he does need time to develop. And I think this would be a good spot for him, because I still believe in McDaniels. I know some people don't, but I do think he can coach quarterbacks.
I'm a Brandon Marshall guy, so I don't really like McDaniels.
I don't like McDaniels.
Well, that's all right. I'll be on the island myself. I'll be
one person who always believes in Josh McDaniels, and that, of course, is Josh
McDaniels.
So let's go on to the next pick here. After we have Richardson off the board at 7, then at 8, the Atlanta Falcons select Tyree Wilson, Texas Tech defensive end, Paris Johnson, offensive tackle from Ohio State, to the Bears at 9, for the Eagles at 10. Bogman put Miles Murphy, defensive lineman from Clemson. Then here we go at 11, the Tennessee Titans on the clock. Kevin, finally, you get to make a fun pick.
Yeah, I took Jackson Smith-Njigba from Ohio State here. And I think with the quarterbacks off the board, because I think Tennessee is going to be in play for a quarterback if they don't move up, I think they have to go with, they need weapons, man. Like, they just need guys on the outside. You know, I like, you know, Treylon Burks is going to be there, but Kyle Phillips, he's been injured out there. Nick Westbrook, you know, what are we going to do with him? He's a nice piece, but he's not something that can do that. I think JSN comes in, he could be wide receiver one on this depth chart. He's going to earn targets. And there was a recent interview, they talked to the head coach at Tennessee. They talked to Vrabel, and he said, hey, listen, like, we think he can play outside too. So we like Jason's talent. We like him from the slot and outside, which I think he can do. And like, he immediately becomes, like, you're talking fantasy, like 104, 105 range in rookie draft. Like, he can be that target guy, earn targets, but then he also in this offense becomes the number one option.
Bogman, obviously he can create separation, obviously a good route runner. Maybe he doesn't have the top end speed, but again, you know, I think some of the intangibles are there for him. What do you think of Jackson Smith-Njigba and potentially this landing spot too for fantasy? Because, you know, this is not exactly a high powered offense, theoretically, in Tennessee.
He's great wide receiver. I have him third on my board. I know a lot of people have him first. I understand that he's definitely in that top three group, no matter where you go. Pretty much the only concern that I have with him as of recent is ability to stay on the field. And you know, that, I don't know if that fits well with Treylon Burks, but, you know, get them a number one wideout. Like Kevin said, this is a team bereft of talent around what quarterback are we going with? Are we going with Tannehill? Are we going with Willis? You know, I don't know what's going to happen here. I guess we're going with Tanny again. Not something that I would want to do, but everyone's second.
Considering they signed some guy off the scrap heap to play, so Willis didn't have to last year.
Yeah, but that was also last year. You know, let's put last year behind us. Will is still very, very talented. So, but I mean, he's not the guy I want behind center if I want my wide receivers putting up huge numbers. And you know, good landing spot because they absolutely have to have weapons here. They need them. So great pick for them. Yeah, that's my only concern with him at all. Cause in, you know, the testing and all that stuff being behind with him and Addison, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the testing being bad. We watched it on film. These guys are both outstanding wide receivers that get open, run clean routes, and make catches. So, yeah, I'm still in on those guys for sure.
Now, with all of the, you know, rookie wide receivers, you know, there's a great piece right now Tom Strachan has over on fantasypros.com. You can check out about the high upside wide receivers and basically where you should look at them in some of those best ball leagues, because we've seen these guys make a huge impact the last few years, especially in this best ball format, so we can get them late. Especially if you're doing best balls before they land in a draft spot too, you're taking some chances there, which is really fun. And speaking of which, by the way, we've got a fun thing going on here with FFPC. We've partnered with FFPC to bring you the Fantasy Pros Championship, which is a $350 entry season-long fantasy football contest with $6 million in total prizes. That's right, $6 million, including a $1 million first place. And I know they wanted me to say this because I could say $1 million and everyone gets a kick out of that. Drafts are open today. Sign up at fantasypros.com/championship. Again, fantasypros.com/championship. If you want to partake, we want you to come hang out and do that. Use the promo code fantasypros. I'm sure you can remember that. And you get $25 off your entry. And that's a good thing there. And you can enter that contest before June 1st and draft your team before June 15th for an additional early bird credit of $35. So if you're interested in this and you think you're good, then come bring it. So you get the $25 entry fee off from Fantasy Pros for
from that discount code. And then, of course, you get the early bird discount of $35. And each 12-team league consists of 12-week regular season with a weekly waiver wire period to start sit decisions, but no trading. You're not allowed to do that. And the top two regular season seeds, along with the playoff champion, move on to the championship round for weeks 15 through 17. And then they'll compete for that $1 million grand prize just for playing fantasy football. So, again, you can also win free with Fantasy Pros and Betting Pro subscriptions as part of the prizes. And that's also fun. So if you don't win the million, you get some stuff anyway, just for partaking. So go check it out today. Again, it's fantasybros.com/championship. Use the promo code FantasyPros to get that $25 off. Let's get back to the draft, shall we, fellas? Let's go to the next pick here, which is the Houston Texans, Derek at 12, taking Lucas Van Ness, defensive end from Iowa, then Broderick Jones, offensive tackle from Georgia, going to the Jets at 13. At 14, New England, once again, this time under Scott Bogman, not Andrew Erickson, selecting Peter Skoronski, offensive tackle, Northwestern.
Listen to the Patriots fans. That's what I do.
Well, I mean, we need offensive line help, so it works for me. Skoronski feels like a New England kind of guy. Derek, then, has the pick for Green Bay at 15. So, D-Bro, what'd you say?
I know this is going to be the chalk pick, and everybody's going to eye roll because this is the pick that everybody makes for Green Bay, but it makes a ton of sense because of their needs. Michael Mayer, tight end out of Notre Dame. They have no pass catchers outside of Christian Watson. Romeo Dubs, that's it. Like, Mercedes Lewis is gone. Robert Tonyan is gone. Michael Mayer is a three-down tight end. He can be, he's going to walk into the NFL and be an average to above-average blocker from the jump. And we're looking at a tight end that was first in yards per route run last year. So, again, Jordan Love, you know, it's Jordan Love. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to New York. I think Jordan Love needs talent, and he needs weapons around him, and Michael Mayer fits that bill.
Kevin, you're a Cowboys guy. I heard a lot of Jason Witten comps on this guy. Do you believe that to be true? And if so, does that limit his fantasy relevance?
Man, just taking a shot at my guy Witten. I would say
I kind of took two at once. I took one at Witten and one at the Cowboys in case you're keeping score at home.
Yeah, I'm so glad I get invited on this thing. No, I would say
you're welcome.
For me, I think Witten's actually a little bit better of an athlete than Mayer was. Like, Witten actually tested pretty well when you're looking at his relative athletic score and stuff. Mayer, though, he's solid. Like, this is a good pick in terms of like what Mayer can be, because they got to protect Love. They got to get Love. Love is not Rodgers. Like, you know, that's why you come on this to listen to that. But like, he's not. So you gotta protect him, and you gotta get weapons out there. And he could be that blanket, that safety guy. And if he's that, so like, I always look at, I don't know how these guys look at fantasy, but if he's the second target getter on the team, for a tight end, I'll take that. Like, okay, if he's gonna earn those and he's gonna be in that position, I'm on board with that. So like, yeah, this is a very safe pick, but I think it's a good, very good pick.
All right, let's continue on here to the next selection. Here we have the Washington Commanders at 16. Derek selected Joey Porter Jr., cornerback from Penn State. And if you want a little bit more in-depth breakdown, again, this is a three-round draft, so we're moving quickly today. We have two-round drafts already in the bucket over on our YouTube channel. You can listen to the podcast, too, where we do a breakdown on these defensive players and offensive linemen, too. So if you want the full one, you can go listen to those shows as well. Pittsburgh at 17. Bogman, you selected Devin Witherspoon, corner from Illinois. It's a great cornerback draft, so no doubt there. So another corner off the board. Then Kalijah Kansi, going off here, defensive lineman from Pitt. Kevin selected for the Detroit Lions at 18. At 19, the Tampa Bay Bucks. And Scott Bogman selected Darnell Wright, offensive tackle from Tennessee. Then Seattle back again for pick number 20. This time, Derek again. Cam Smith, cornerback for South Carolina. Bogman, that puts you up for the 21st pick of the Chargers. What do they select?
Bijan Robinson. I think that if Austin Eckler gets traded, it's going to be either slightly before the draft or maybe even during the draft, like we saw A.J. Brown get moved last year. The running back market is pretty bad right now. I mean, we have some good running backs out still looking for contracts. Zeke, Leonard Fournette, Kareem Hunt still looking for homes. There's not a lot of running back needy teams, but the Chargers have thrown darts at back-end running backs the last 3 years in a row, haven't hit on any of them. Eckler was their one guy that worked. They're not going to pay him, so let's bring in the best running back that we've seen in a couple of years in Bijan Robinson here, a generational talent. I will say it. I am a Texas fan. I don't care what anyone says. He is the best running back
by a lot.
So yeah, I don't care. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, best running back that we've seen in a long time, and just imagine RPOs with Herbert and Bijan. That would be a lot of fun. So
you know what I love, Boggs?
I tweeted a couple weeks before the combine after looking for a comp for him. My comp was Edgerrin James, and I gave a whole big thing. And you know what's funny? On the combine, they threw up a big little graphic there comparing him to Edgerrin James. So just saying,
NFL I compared to Le'Veon Bell with speed. Le'Veon Bell with way more speed.
He's stronger, I think, and just all around. D-Bro, with the Herbert contract looming too, obviously that guy's going to get a lot of money. It's going to change the structure of the Chargers and what they're able to get on the field. I know right now they basically are bringing everything back. If Eckler does go and Bijan becomes the guy, how does this change the dynamic of the offense potentially too?
I think you're going to see, well, just with Kellen Moore there, I think you're going to see probably less checkdowns than we saw under Joe Lombardi. Maybe the rushing rate goes up as well. And with a horse like Bijan, I mean, with Austin Eckler in the backfield the last few years, like you're going to have to limit and their backup running backs not just bursting through and saying, hey, give me more work. They've been having to limit how much they were able to even run the ball just in general. Because Eckler is not a guy you're going to give 20 to 25 carries in a game. Bijan, on the other hand, can. So it's going to make their offense more multiple.
And when eventually Keenan Allen and Mike Williams both get hurt again, you can go to a run first offense with Bijan.
Tell me that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Well, I mean, hopefully if they trade Eckler, they get some wide receiver capital back there, maybe some draft picks too. Bogman, back to you for the pick number 22, the Baltimore Ravens. I know you're a huge Ravens fan. What did the Ravens select here at 22?
Give him Quentin Johnson, the wide receiver from TCU. And I think this fits whether you bring back Lamar or not. You know, you need wide receivers. Rashad Bateman is a good wide receiver, has not been able to stay on the field. Devin Duvernay, more of a three or a four, probably more of a special teams guy than anything. And if it is Tyler Huntley, if you do have to trade Lamar and you don't get anyone immediately to replace him, you go with Huntley. We know Huntley's not throwing the ball more than 10 yards down the field. Quentin Johnson is a monster in size, but he's not a contested catch guy. So let's get him the ball in space. Let's get him some yak, give him opportunities, put the ball in his hands. And Andrews is still your number one. So I would love this move if I'm a Ravens fan. I hate this move because I am a Steelers fan.
So the irony, if they move on from Lamar and then finally draft a wide receiver worth starting in the NFL, Kevin, let's say Lamar stays and Johnson's with him. What sort of draft capital would you be willing to spend on him, let's say, in redraft leagues?
Oh, yeah, probably like 9th, 10th round, if I had to go off the top of my head, probably somewhere in there. And you're just hoping upside he'll get the targets, right? And he'll earn those things. And if Bateman gets hurt again, that you can go there, but probably not too high. I try not to bet my fantasy teams on wide receivers from Baltimore. That's just kind of something that I kind of live by. So like I 8, 9, 10, it depends on where the value is at, but that's probably where the board would be.
All right, let's move on to the next pick here. The Minnesota Vikings up next. D-Bro, that's 23. That's you.
I am going to give Justin Jefferson a running mate. I'm going to go with my dude, my wide receiver two in this class, Zay Flowers, baby. Wide receiver out of Boston College. I love his skill set. People that are pegging him as just a strict slot wide receiver have not watched his tape. Dude can play outside. You can roll him inside. He's versatile. The metrics are fantastic. And this is all saying he dealt with terrible, 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 terrible quarterback play at Boston College. Like it was horrible.
How was the quarterback play at Boston?
Not good, Joe. Okay. So Flowers, there are multiple times in every part of his film where he is breaking off a route, getting open, and whether it's the quarterback taking a sack, airmailing a ball to him, it happens religiously. So I think Zay Flowers is going to be, honestly, he could be a great sleeper as far as redraft and stuff, and I think he's going to hit the ground running in Minnesota.
This is the second mock in a row where Zay Flowers ended up in Minnesota. Now, obviously, it would be nice to have for Jefferson to have somebody else on the other end there, especially a burner like Flowers. Coleman, what do you think about this landing spot now that it seems like not once but twice we've ended up here? Is this the spot you'd like to see Zay Flowers land as well for his value?
Yeah, this is I think this is probably best case scenario, right? So, you know, he gets a guy like, because he's not going to be the alpha, but, you know, he can get in there and really, Jefferson on the other side, he could eat up one-on-one coverage. Like, this kid can separate, he can go over the middle, and to his credit, he's a downfield threat, and he plays on the outside more than people give him credit for as well. Like, when you watch and you go through all the advanced numbers, it's there. He's actually a perfect fit in this offense, and even with Hawk there, too. So, like, you're looking at it, this would be a great pick for them. I think from an offensive perspective, putting up points, I think that's a really good, and they're doing a good job in free agency. But yeah, give me this for Zay. I think this would be a very, very good landing spot.
At 24, the Jaguars and Kevin selected Brian Branch, safety from Alabama, then Osiris Torrance, offensive guard from Florida. to the Giants at 25. Bogman makes that pick. Kevin then a couple of picks back to back here. 26 is Dallas Cowboys select Steven Avila, a guard slash center from TCU. Then Jordan Addison, wide receiver to the Buffalo Bills at 27. So let's talk about this one here, Kevin. Addison on number one on some people's boards. He is the third wide receiver to go off the board in this draft. What can he do here to help the Buffalo Bills? Obviously, they could use somebody else, and maybe Gabe Davis has not really become the guy that we hoped he would.
Yeah, I think Stephon Diggs is dying for talent right now. You see him tweeting all over the place, right? Like, he needs guys out there to help him, and I think he does, and I think Addison would fit right in there. I like Khalil Shakir. I've kind of been higher on him, but he didn't separate himself last year. Gabe Davis has been okay, but they need another guy in that offense, and you see how you win in this league. You need guys around you that can create separation, which I think he can do. I know that there's some question mark about his size, and I know, like, you know, bump and coverage and all of that stuff that we're going to see defenses do to him, but he won the Blitnikoff as a sophomore. He was one of the best wide receivers in college football. He made Kenny Pickett look good. So for everybody out there that's seen Kenny Pickett play football, he made him look like he got him drafted. Jordan Addison got him drafted based on that first round draft capital he received. So I think he steps in with Allen. That's a great fit. I think he can earn targets too with him and Stephon Diggs. I think he becomes the wide receiver too on this roster immediately when he comes in there. I know Gabe Davis troopers, you guys don't want to give him up, but I think it's Addison there, and they need offense to win in this conference. They got to get over that hump, and they need it. And that window's closing.
Before we move on, Boggs, did you need to defend the honor of Kenny Pickett, or can we get to the next
pick? No, I don't have to. He did it.
Not good for you.
Okay, number 28, moving on. The Cincinnati Bengals and Derek Brown select Deontay Banks, cornerback from Maryland. Then Ryan Bracy, Clemson defensive tackle, goes to the New Orleans Saints. Philly at number 30 from Bogman selects Drew Sanders, linebacker from Arkansas. And then to wrap up the first round, the Kansas City Chiefs, Kevin selected Nolan Smith, so he fell a little bit in this one, linebacker from Georgia. Moving on to the second round, at the very top, we have, of course, back the GM of the Steelers, Scott Bogman, selecting Mazi Smith, defensive tackle from Michigan. Then Kelly Ringo, Georgia cornerback going to the Houston Texans at 33. At 34, the Arizona Cardinals. Kevin, you are on the clock.
Yeah, I took Jahmyr Gibbs out of Alabama. And I think the thing about the Cardinals, I think they're in play for a running back, even Bijan. Like, if they figured out a way to kind of figure out a way to get in there in that late first, if Bijan's still there, there's a rumor out there that they don't think they're that far away. Like, I think Jonathan Gannon those days think they can come in. Kyler Murray's injured. But next year, after next year, and if they place Gibbs in there, he's ready to go. And I think that they need a running back, James Conner. James Conner is James Conner. I don't want to keep making fun of old Pittsburgh Steelers for Bogman to yell at me, but like, he is who he is. Like, that's where he is.
Never been spoken. No, you're right. He is. And look, Jahmyr Gibbs is a decent consolation prize, I would say, if you're missing out. Bogman, I want to get your take on Gibbs here for a second here, because I was incredibly impressed with his combine. I just thought everything he did was so smooth. It was so good. I mean, there was just no way you could not be impressed by him. If he ends up here in this, you know, new offense here without Kyler Murray, especially for most of the season, one would imagine, with the Cardinals, how do you see Gibbs potentially working in with a team like that?
I think it's a great spot for him, because you're going to have to be a run first team if you're the Arizona Cardinals. And I don't know why Gannon would think they're not far away. I mean, they are. Look at the roster. Name me one defensive lineman for the Cardinals. If you're the Cardinals with this terrible defense, you have no front seven at all right now. You need to possess the football. You need to have the ball as much as you can to keep that defense gassed up and on the sideline so they don't get worn out, because they're not very good. So you keep the football. You got a nice 1-2 punch there with Connor and Gibbs, or, you know, Gibbs and Connor until the wheels fall off for Connor, which they seem to do. So, you know, I think it's a great spot, especially with half the year, you know, with Colt McCoy, or, you know, a player to be named later as your starting quarterback here, because Murray is going to miss some time. So, yeah, I think it's a really good spot because of volume. And as D-Bro has taught us many, many years in a row, volume is king in the NFL, and these running backs should both get it.
There you go. Bogman, let's stick with you at 35. You're the Colts GM. So who do they select?
Give me Jalin Hyatt to the Colts, the slot wide receiver out of Tennessee. This dude is always open. Steve Smith has talked about him. I mean, Steve Smith said he's a bigger, faster version of Steve Smith. He's not that. He's not that by a long shot, but he is a guy that when you already have your linebackers playing up or your, you know, safeties, whatever, playing up because you have the bruiser in Jonathan Taylor, Let's send a guy down to streak. And he is so fast. He snaps off his routes. He gets open. And you have the big guys on the other side. You have Pittman and Pierce on the outside. You got Jalin Hyatt in the middle. I think he's a much better version of Paris Campbell. So I would be excited if I was a Colts fan for Hyatt to go there.
Hyatt had some smash games last year. That Alabama game was super fun to watch too. Is this exactly, I mean, this is the remaking, Debro, of this Colts offense here in this draft, if they do draft Levis and then Hyatt?
It is. I mean, I might not agree with the remaking of Hyatt and this draft capital, but
But if you think about it, you're talking about the guy with the big arm and the guy with the big wheels. So that's a good combination, typically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's a fit for what they're going for. And it also fits with who they already have on their roster with Pittman and Pierce. It's not going to force Jalin Hyatt. And that's really the downside case for Jalin Hyatt, is that some team drafts him and forces him into an outside X or Z role, because that he would struggle in that. So this would allow him to stay in the slot where he's comfortable.
All right, let's move on to the next pick of the draft here, and that is the Rams at 36. Derek selected Will McDonald, Iowa State defensive end. Then Derek was back again for pick number 37, the Seahawks. So, Debro, what do the Seahawks get?
They go with wide receiver out of North Carolina, Josh Downs. So Downs is going to add another complement of weapons to for Geno Smith. Like, with Downs, we know he can play out of the slot. It's probably going to be where he makes his money. Tyler Lockett's not getting any younger. If Downs shows any ability to play on the outside as well with his speed, because he tested extremely well, especially in the short area stuff, I think that Downs could unlock a little bit, at least the ability to play some outside. But this is a really good landing spot for him to start earning targets immediately and really take off into year two if they do somehow move on from Tyler Lockett.
Kevin, give me your take on Josh Downs, North Carolina wide receiver.
Yeah, I was really mad when he made this pick because it's a great pick. I was pissed. I was really pissed. I think he fits perfectly in that offense, like you talked about. Separates well, and I think he's, you know, if he lands here. So if we're looking at just from his projection as just fantasy, like, he's pretty much a replacement for Lockett. He'll just come in and he's that guy. He's gonna earn those targets. He has good athleticism in all levels of the field. Like, and Downs, if you will watch his tape, especially from 2 years ago in 2021, he played on the outside. Like, he did a lot of good things with Hal. Like, and he was able to kind of work in and out. He's very aggressive. I know he's smaller, but he doesn't play like that. Like, he is a physical. He's a physical receiver when you watch.
Second highest contested catch rate, Kev.
Yeah.
Second highest behind Mac Hippenhammer last year in college football.
I love a good Hippenhammer.
Yeah, he does that. He's a great pick. I think there's a great, I love Downs. I think this is perfect draft capital for him, early second.
The Raiders back on the clock at 38. Bogman selected Felix Anudike Uzomah. How'd I do there, Boggs? Did I do okay?
Yeah, pretty good, man. Yeah, that's
Kansas solid. State edge rusher. Don't worry, it's going to go downhill after that. Clark Phillips, cornerback, Utah, then at 39 to the Carolina Panthers. Bogman selected that. Then Debro for New Orleans at 40. Back again, B.J. Ojulari, LSU edge rusher. Then next we have at 41, the Tennessee Titans on the clock. Kevin, that's you.
Yeah, they're in a weird spot. Tennessee's like QB purgatory right now. So I took Hendon Hooker, quarterback from Tennessee. I'm not like a big like truther for Hooker in terms of like where he's at. Like, I know some people have him higher than Richardson. I think he could be step in though. And like, you either got an elite guy or you kind of weird this weird spot where you're just plugging and playing and hoping you kind of land someone like this. I think Hooker could step in a vertical passing scheme like he was in Tennessee, obviously in college. Obviously this is a little bit of a different passing scheme, but if he can get weapons put around him and he can facilitate really well and they can protect him, he could do some damage in that offense, and they got to do something. Like, Tannehill is Tannehill. I think his time is coming to an end. I don't think Malik's the answer. So they're going to have to kind of, and they want to compete because, you know, Variable's not going to let them not compete. So they're probably not going to pick, you know, in that range where they get a quarterback next year. So maybe they can have Hooker develop him. He'll be ready at some point, middle of the year. Hopefully that would be the goal. Maybe not, but at least the following year, they can kind of roll him out.
Bogman, question here. You know, they got Willis last year at a distinct discount, right? Now, do you believe that it's okay to go back again with second round draft capital if you're the Titans and go ahead and take Hooker if he's on the board?
Yeah, I mean, Malik Willis didn't show you anything last year. So if you have Hendon Hooker high on your board, you in the NFL, you cannot go without a quarterback. So you have to keep developing. This is why the Patriots have been better than a lot of teams. You had the GOAT sitting there forever, mm-hmm. and Bill Belichick would still take QBs and then trade them. Matt Castle and Jimmy G and everybody mm-hmm. else. Hoyer left and came back, you know, so... this it's a smart move to do. Vrabel obviously was with the Patriots forever. He has learned under Bill Belichick. So this is a smart move for them because Ryan Tannehill is long in the tooth. Malik has showed us nothing. So you didn't re-sign Joshua Dobbs. You let him go to Cleveland. So got to get somebody else in there. At least some competition, like Kevin said. Vrabel is big on that.
The Jets with back-to-back picks at 42 and 43. Kevin selected John Michael Jingleheimer Schmitz, the center from Minnesota, then Jack Campbell, inside linebacker from Iowa. Derek, the Atlanta Falcons at 44, took Adebowore, Northwestern edge rusher. Then Cedric Tillman goes next here. Derek, you selected him for the Green Bay Packers. Let's talk about it.
Have to keep adding weapons for Jordan Love. They got Michael Mayer. Now we got Cedric Tillman. This allows them to have a big body wide receiver that can run opposite of Christian Watson. You put Romeo Dobbs, who's better against zone coverage, into the slot. Then you have competent weapons for Jordan Love. And I like Tillman. My comp for him in our draft guide was Alshon Jeffrey. He's not a burner, but he can get late separation and he can come down with some really good grabs.
Next up at 46, the New England Patriots and Bogman selected Julius Brents, cornerback from Kansas State. Very Patriots draft so far. Take a lineman in a corner. Sounds about right.
Brents is tall, 6'4". So.
Yeah. Washington up next. Derek Brown, you're on the clock at 47.
Logan Thomas is not good, nor can he stay healthy. So Washington is going to go to the tight end well, and they're going to get my guy, Dalton Kincaid, tight end out of Utah. He's not healthy right now, but I project he's going to be ready for camp and stuff like that. I'm not worried about that. And then the talent is through the roof with Kincaid. He's not a great blocker, but he is amazing in the passing game. And I think the ceiling is through the roof for Kincaid in the NFL.
Some good tape there with him and Cameron Risen, one of my favorite names there in college football. Kevin, when you watch Dalton Kincaid, a lot of people, I'm sure, think that he could be a fantasy standout. Do you agree?
Oh yeah. Like when you're looking at what the present day tight end position looks like in terms of fantasy, he covers all that. Like, yeah, he can't block very well, but I think a team that drafts him is going to know that. And they're going to protect him, not putting him in a 12 personnel lineup. Like they're going to put him in the slot, use him kind of, you know, different areas. And if he goes to a team that has weapons on the outside, he could be a one-on-one nightmare for linebacker safeties. Like he has it all. And he's a late bloomer. He just started playing tight end 5 years ago in terms of where he's come. And he's developed every level where he's at, so you have to love that about him.
All right, let's see what we love about Detroit's pick next at 48. Kevin, what do you have for us?
Yeah, I took Darnell Washington, big kid out of the massive kid out of Georgia. Oh, yeah. If you haven't seen him there,
true.
I think he's just a lion, man. He's gonna bite kneecaps. He fits Dan Campbell's system, and I think they got Brock Wright, you know, Shane Josta, James Mitchell. They need to do like this. And he's going to be the best run blocking tight end in this class. He's going to do that. He did it at Georgia. He's essentially another lineman. So what they like to do when they bring in Monty, and they have Swift there at some point, I hope they use him, but they can use him as an offensive lineman. And then imagine him with his size and his frame, just running seam routes. And then you have Amon-Ra and Jameson on the outside. Like this dude's going to run open free down the middle of the field a lot. And it's going to help out Jared Goff. And I think it just makes too much sense for them not to add him if he's here, because he fits every box that both, you know, Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell love about a profile of a tight end. And there's that position in general.
Fascinating evolution of the NFL. We had three tight ends off the board and only two running backs. My, how the game has changed. Let's go to the next pick here at 49. That is Pittsburgh Steelers. So Bogman selected Trenton Simpson, linebacker from Clemson. Then Bogman, you're back on the clock for 50 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Let's give him Zach Charbonnet, the running back out of UCLA. And this is because, you know, look, just like we talked about before, with a team that is going down to either Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask, you are going to need running backs. Right now, it's just Rashad White and Chase Edmonds who can't stay on the field on this roster. Let's add a big, powerful, speedy back in Zach Charbonnet. He's far and away my number three in this class behind Gibbs and Bijan. I think he's outstanding. I think he fits in Tampa too. We added Darnell Wright on the offensive line in this draft as well. So we're improving the pieces around Baker or Trask, whoever comes in, like we're doing for Jordan Love in Green Bay as well. These young quarterbacks, or bad quarterbacks in Baker, need weapons around them to be able to produce. So let's get them some weapons. And you know, if Rashad White doesn't stay healthy, you have a back behind him. Or if Charbonnet should usurp Rashad White early in the season, I could easily see that happening as well. So just get some depth in that backfield for the Bucs.
It's going to be a rough year at Superflex Leagues, I'm telling you right now. 51, yeah. Miami. Kevin selects as Henry Tuatua, inside linebacker from Alabama. Then Cody Mauch from North Dakota State, offensive tackle, goes to the Seahawks at 52. At 53, the Bears and Kevin select Siaki Ika from Baylor. That's the Baylor defensive tackle. Then Luke Musgrave, next, another tight end. Boggs at 54. You took him for the Chargers. So let's talk about it. You gave them Bijan Robinson and now Luke Musgrave. Is this the next guy maybe that can benefit potentially in some of these injuries that you talked about earlier of the wide receiving core?
Yeah, I mean, I would like this for him better if they did cut Gerald Everett, which hasn't happened yet. Not sure if that's going to happen for the Chargers. But yeah, I mean, just more weapons for this team. And I believe Everett, you know, he's old and I think a free agent after this year anyway. So let's get some depth there. I know they re-signed Donald Parham and they like him, but he has been able to stay on the field and he hasn't really exploded yet. Musgrave is a guy to me that looks a lot like Travis Kelce. He looks like a very, very young, not rounded out Travis Kelce physically. I'm not calling him Travis Kelce, but he's one of those guys that you could see mold into a top end wide receiver in terms of fantasy, or tight end that plays wide receiver in fantasy for the Chargers. And he's a huge target. He's a red zone guy too. Just needs a little bit of coaching up. There's still meat on the bone for him. Biggest thing with him, though, only played a couple games last season, has missed a lot of time in the past. So he's definitely an injury risk, which is why he would fall behind the other, I think, four tight ends that we've already had go.
At 55, the Lions and Kevin select Noah Sewell, Oregon inside linebacker, then Keon White, outside linebacker from Georgia Tech, goes to the Jags at 56. Then at 57, Bogman for the Giants selected Jordan Battle, safety from Alabama. He fell pretty far here. 58, Dallas Cowboys, Kevin selected Emmanuel Forbes, Mississippi State corner, then Anton Harrison, Oklahoma offensive tackle, to Buffalo at 59. Then 60 puts Debro back on the clock. Debro, tight ends are running. You want to go take another one?
Absolutely. I mean, people have talked about the depth and the excellence of this tight end class, and I'm just staying with it, man. Give me Sam Laporta, tight end out of Iowa. I think he is going to be a pass game weapon from day one. I know they just signed Irv Smith, but what that allows the Bengals to do, and he was only a one-year contract, is not have to reach for a tight end in the draft or have to fill a need. They have a guy that can start this year if they don't get somebody to follow to him. In this mock, Sammy Ballgame is going to play up. This is a fantastic landing spot. He is a versatile chess piece. This guy played 20% of his snaps last year at Iowa on the outside. Give me this all day for Sam Laporta.
Isaiah Foskey, defensive end from Notre Dame, going next at 61 to the Bears. Then 62 puts the Eagles on the clock. Scott Bogman, that's you.
Yeah, I'm going to give him Marvin Mims, wide receiver out of Oklahoma. And I got to watch a lot of Marvin Mims playing against Texas. He's a good wideout, you know, a little bit undersized, but this is a slot guy. You know, this is a third guy behind Smith and A.J. Brown. And Quez Watkins, he's fine. But I think you could at least push him and maybe Mims could overtake him. You know, Dallas Goedert is still there, but this is a team that doesn't need a lot. The offensive line is set. We drafted them some defensive linemen and a linebacker before. They signed Terrell Edmunds as a safety. So this is a luxury pick for the Eagles at this point. And I think just maybe adding a wide receiver to that room would be good for them.
Last pick of the second round, the Kansas City Chiefs and Kevin select DeJuan Jones, Ohio State offensive tackle. So let's move on now to the third round, finally uncharted territory. We haven't done the third round yet. That starts at 64 with the Bears. Kevin selected Olusegun Olatoamini. I think I screwed that up. Olawatimi. Did I say it right, Kevin? Did I do okay?
The second part, yeah. I don't know how to say the first part. So you're good. Yeah. We've covered that already.
Olusegun Olawatimi. I apologize, Olusegun. I've worked very hard. I've worked the whole show before trying to make sure I got that, and I still screwed it up anyway. Anyway, 65, Houston, Derek, Luke Weipler, Ohio State center, then Tuli Teopoludo, USC defensive end, defensive tackle.
We now I'm really all getting the annoyed. Hardest names for you here.
I was gonna say, did you have to do these all in a row? You guys are jerks. Like, the fact that you had to do those three names in a row to me, it's just really, I'm over it.
When we were filling out the mock, we were all sitting here saying, okay, who has a difficult.
Let's get three names in a row that's going to make Joe look like an idiot. And then we'll have Keanu Benton. At least I could say that one. Defensive tackle, Wisconsin to Denver at 67. Then at 68, the Denver Broncos are back on the clock again. Bogman, who do they select?
Let's give him Devin Achane. And we were going through this. We had a meeting about this to fill out the last couple rounds here. D-Bro and I were talking about this. This is a Sean Payton move. We all remember, Darren Sproles and Reggie Bush in this offense before. Devin Achane is a smaller back, but with unbelievable breakaway speed, a great third down back. Looks like this team could come into the year without Javonte Williams as well. He's at least going to be handled like with kid gloves, a lot like J.K. Dobbins probably was last year with Baltimore. So I think Devin Achane gives them way more speed on this offense, and it fits Sean Payton's system very well.
69, the Rams, Derek Hall, Auburn defensive end. Then Dion Henley, linebacker, Washington State to the Las Vegas Raiders at 70. At 71, that puts up the New Orleans Saints. D-Bro, what do you have?
Well, Alvin Kamara's playing time and his suspension still up in the air. I know they signed Jamal Williams, who is still the swaggiest interview in the NFL right now, but they still need help in this backfield. I'm going to give them Tajay Spears, running back out of Tulane. He gets to stay in the same city where he played collegiate ball. He is a playmaker, lightning in a bottle kind of guy. He can sit here and play on early downs and in the passing game. Him, when he measured in over 200 pounds at the Senior Bowl, I was like, okay, let's go. I mean, we're talking about a guy that we were hoping he got over that mark, and to see that and the third round capital, dynasty managers are going to be foaming at the mouth for Tajay Spears.
Emile Ekier Jr., Alabama offensive guard/center, going to the Titans at 72. At 73, the Houston Texans are back. D-Bro, the pick is yours again.
They need weapons. I know they've been adding to this offense with some competent pieces all offseason. Two-year contract to backup running backs. Anyway, they're going
to go. Are
you
with... having a stroke or something? Should I call
it? I mean, look, he doesn't like Devin Singletary.
The transaction list
for the Texans can give you that if you read it enough times in a row. But getting to the pick here, Rashee Rice, wide receiver out of SMU. He's a good separator versus zone coverage. That is what the NFL is going to right now. And I think that he might have a problem getting onto the field this year, but next year could be wheels up.
All right, we have a bunch of picks here in a row that are not skill players. We'll run through them. At 74, the Cleveland Browns select Gervin Dexter, defensive lineman from Florida. Then the cornerback DJ Turner from Michigan goes to Atlanta at 75 from D-Bro. Bogman again for the Pats at 76 selects Byron Young, edge rusher from Tennessee. Then Jalen Duncan, offensive tackle from Maryland. Kevin puts to the Rams at 77. At 78, the Green Bay Packers and D-Bro put Antonio Johnson, Texas A&M safety. Then Joe Tippmann, Wisconsin interior lineman, goes to the Indianapolis Colts at 79. Then at 80, the Pittsburgh Steelers back again, put Matthew Bergeron, offensive tackle from Syracuse. Sidney Brown, Illinois safety, goes to Detroit at 81. At 82, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Bogman, Dylan Fortin, edge rusher from TCU. Kyle Blue Kelly, cornerback from Stanford, goes to Seattle at 83. At 84, the Miami Dolphins select McClendon Curtis from Chattanooga, offensive guard. Then Bogman once again for the Chargers. A lot of picks here for the first three rounds of the Chargers. 85, Keandre Coburn, defensive tackle from his Longhorns of Texas, which puts Bogman back on the clock for pick number 86 and the Baltimore Ravens.
Let's give him Tank Bigsby, the big running back out of Auburn. I think this is a good fit in this offense. I don't think Justice Hill is good enough to be a backup. J.K. Dobbins is the lead. But, you know, J.K. Dobbins, rubbed some people the wrong way when Baltimore got bounced. He had some comments. I'm assuming we're over that and fences have been mended. But this is another spot where J.K. Dobbins potentially could get traded. But also, once again, if it's not Lamar, we're going to go with another young quarterback or a bad quarterback in Baltimore for a season or two. So let's give them some depth in that backfield just in case the injuries crop up, which they have for Baltimore recently. So let's give Bigsby to the Ravens.
The Vikings at 87 select Tyreek Stevenson, corner from Miami, Florida. Then you have Eli Ricks, corner from Alabama, to the Jags at 88 from Kevin. At 89, the Giants and Bogman select Dorian Williams, linebacker from Tulane. Kendre Miller, TCU running back. That's the next pick at number 90. Kevin, let's talk about your Dallas Cowboys selecting an RB here. Can Kendre Miller get some time there with the Tony Pollard backfield now?
Yeah, I think so. I'm gonna clear. So as a Cowboy fan, like people are thinking Tony Pollard's gonna be like the dude coming out of this offseason. They're adding somebody. I've watched Jerry Jones draft my entire life. Like they're gonna be grabbing somebody. So don't expect Pollard to be like the clear guy. I think Kindre fits pretty well with this. Bigger back, he can kind of set that tone, kind of like the Zeke kind of role in this offense where you have Pollard on the other side. But yeah, they're gonna add him. I think Kindre does fit in here. I think that he could be an interesting red zone guy. I like Kindre. I think he looked pretty good in terms of what he's been able to do. I know he, with his injury, he hasn't been able to show up fully, but in the season you saw him do that. I mean, legitimate touchdown scorer, fits this offense really well. And they got to get somebody. They got Ronald Jones there and Malik Davis. They're going to get somebody like this. So just be ready to be kind of in that third round area for a running back to go off the board.
Next at 91, the Buffalo Bills and Kevin select Owen Popoe, Auburn inside linebacker. Then Jamie Robinson, FSU safety, goes at 92 to Cincinnati from Derek. At 93, the Panthers and Bogman select Zach Harrison, edge rusher from the Ohio State. Bogman, you're back up again at 94 for the Eagles. You're on the clock.
Let's give him my Texas back, Rashawn Johnson, who is outstanding and not talked about enough because he was behind Bijan. Came into Texas as a quarterback, switched positions his freshman year, didn't complain about it at all. He is rocked up, he is huge, and he gets downhill fast. Forces a lot of missed tackles because he runs through arm tackles. He's got enough wiggle to make a tackler miss as well. And I love him. And when you look in Philly, you know, we're at luxury picks here because this roster has been built very, very well. And do we trust Rashad Penny to stay on the field for more than 5 games? I don't know how we can. That's who they just signed to replace Miles Sanders. So give him Roshan. And I think I think he's going to be a big factor if he goes to Philly.
Kevin, I was a little surprised that you took Miller over Roshan Johnson here. Why was that with Johnson still on the board? Because it feels like he would be a very good compliment as well, potentially, to Pollard.
I think it's just based on personal preference. I think Kindre is a little bit better of an athlete. And I do think, you know, he had 1,400 yards rushing last year. And I get Roshan is good. Like, I feel like I'm always bagging on Bogman about his teams. But, like,
that's why we like to have you on the program.
The thing about Roshan I keep hearing is like, oh, well, he would have been running back one on another team. Well, with NIL and stuff, he could have been running back one on another team if he wanted, but maybe no one was calling. Like, maybe for some reason we didn't see that, and there's a reason why in college he stayed there. He's fine.
I mean, he moved positions to stay at Texas, so he obviously wanted to be at Texas.
Sure. But, I mean, if someone's offering me $500,000.
Sure, he says.
I might be going there.
Sure.
But I think both of these guys are close. I think they're just it's based on personal preference. I think 1,400 yards. Kendrick was also one of my guys going in the last season, so I'm a little higher on him than most.
All right. Next, Andrew Voorhees, USC offensive guard, goes to the Kansas City Chiefs at 95. At 96, the Arizona Cardinals. And Kevin also selects Garrett Williams, cornerback from Syracuse, then Colby Wooden, Auburn defensive tackle, to Washington at 97. That puts the Browns and Deboer on the clock for pick number 98.
I'm going to go small school guy here. Give him Dwayne McBride, running back out of UAB. McBride is a guy I'm so interested to see where he goes in the NFL draft, because you could easily see analytical focused teams take a shot on him. This guy has been near the top of every tackle breaking metric you look at over the last 2 years, top 12 in yards after contact per attempt, breakaway run rate, PFF elusive rating. So with a backfield, and we know they're still going to run the ball with Deshaun Watson, that's only behind Nick Chubb. All they got is Jerome Ford. Yeah, they need another back.
All right, next here we have the San Francisco 49ers making a pick at 99. Bogman gave them Darius Rush, corner from South Carolina. Then another corner, Ketrell Carter, cornerback from Louisville, goes to the Raiders at pick 100. Then at 101, the 49ers again, a big cluster of picks here. Bogman selects KJ Henry, edge rusher from Clemson. And Bogman at 102, let's close things out for the 49ers and round three.
Let's go with Xavier Hutchinson, the big wide receiver out of Iowa State. You know, once again, kind of a luxury pick for the Niners, traded most of this draft to get Christian McCaffrey last season. What they had left in this draft already after trading up for Trey Lance, what they had left, they gave up for CMC. So finally getting in here with some J2s and comp picks. And I think Hutchinson just, you know, affords them another option behind Danny Gray, Juwan Jennings gone this offseason. So you have Ayuk, Debo, and you add some depth to that wide receiver room. Big, big target for whoever plays quarterback for this team come week one.
We shall see who that is, too. Great picks, boys. This was really fun. Once again, I encourage everybody to listen to Scott Bogman and Pat Fitzmaurice for more breakdowns on all these players on our Dynasty Football Podcast. I know D-Bro's always got amazing articles and pieces coming out on these players over at fantasypros.com. And, of course, you should follow our good friend Kevin Coleman on the Twitter machine at DaBoys_22. That's boys with an S, not with a Z, because only so much...
He's an adult.
Time for Kevin. He's in a, well, sort of, but that's, I
mean, his name is still the boys, but you know, still the boys,
but he has an adult. Yeah. There's a threshold there for Kevin, but in all seriousness, Kevin Coleman, it's always such a pleasure to talk to you. And again, if you want more insight for the best ball world and some of these rookies, go check out fantasypros.com because Tom Strachan has a great piece up there for the FPPC, the Fantasy Pros Championship, which is going to be going on. I encourage you all to join early because you get that early bird credit of $35. Go to fantasypros.com/championship and use the promo code fantasypros for another $25 off your entry because you could win $1 million playing fantasy football, $6 million in total prizes. Amazing time to be alive. Fantasy Pros Championship, go be a part of it. And again, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to Fantasy Pros YouTube channel because we've got amazing live draft coverage coming at you very soon. Special shout out to our tech team, too, for running this show today along with us. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For D-Bro, the boys, Kevin Coleman, and Scott Bogman, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.